Hello and welcome to another edition of Editing Aloud. And we're in the run-up now to the big story of 2017. And we're very fortunate to have with us today Stembiso Msomi, who's deputy editor of the Sunday Times and also deeply knowledgeable about the inner workings of the ANC. And Stembiso, we're 1 or 2 days away now from this gathering at Nasrec in Johannesburg. How fair and accurate is this conference likely to be in terms of who it elects as its leader of sentiment in the party?
Well, it really depends on who controls the systems and the processes going to the conference. Because as much as most people are saying that Cyril has won it, because when you look at the number of branches that have made nominations, the majority of them are choosing Cyril. But if you look at the number of delegates who will be going and the fact that some branches have more votes than others, and the fact that by Friday they will not have decided on all the credentials. I was told yesterday that they've only done about 5 provinces. So by Friday they will not be done. So you actually do not know what is the actual number of delegates that will end up participating in the voting. So I think that for me is a major question, that we actually do not know what the outcome is.
We don't know. Not only do we not know what the outcome is, but as the more votes that occur, so you have branch votes and then provincial votes, and then all of that needs auditing, I presume. And as you say, even now, there are 5 provinces cleared, yeah, I presume, in terms of delegates, but that leaves another 4 to go. How do you get all of this done accurately and fairly in time?
What the ANC Secretary General has been saying, which they're trying a new system. So, for instance, the people who are sent to branches to monitor the branch general meetings then send their own reports of what happened in those meetings.
Right.
The provinces send their own reports, and the two reports have to talk to each other.
Yeah.
So then you have a process now where they're looking at whether those reports are genuine.
And who are they? Are that?
So that will be a team that works within the office of the Secretary General.
Right.
Which right now, because it is split between Guatemantashe and
Jesse.
Yeah. Then it is a fair office, because both sides are represented. It then depends on which side. But what has happened is that with the 5 provinces, it looks like the process was much smoother.
Yeah.
The problem is with the last 4, they also include KZN, which wants 100 more delegates than the number they were allocated.
Which is that suddenly they want 100 more?
Yes, that's the decision that they took during their PGEC last weekend, that they need 100 more, they deserve 100 more because their membership is higher.
But this was a PGC that we still needs to be, whose legitimacy still needs to be decided by
indeed,
the courts.
Indeed. There's a story that ran in the Sunday Times, which I thought was a source of this problem. A story about how the president was angry after the outcome, when he saw that Cyril got over 100 votes, that he was angry with the provincial executive committee because he felt that the provincial executive committee had not united the party. If you look at the ANC since in KZN since 1997, actually, they've never gone to a conference this divided.
Yeah.
In 1997, when they supported Zuma, I mean, there were names like Winnie Mandela that were supposed to be standing against him. There was Matthew Posa and several other names that were being raised. KZN went there to push for Zuma as deputy president, and they were united 100% KZN. The same thing in 2002, when there was no contest, KZN was clearly totally behind Zuma. 2007, the same thing. 2012, the same thing. Now, this is the first conference where they go there and about 30% of their delegates will not be agreeing with the main position.
And
so I think they themselves are worried. That is why they needed an additional 100 people.
But how do they conjure up an extra 100 between now and, say, Friday?
I mean, they say they are the biggest province. So they came up with a formula that's different from what appears to have been agreed to by everyone else. Gwede's argument is that this will increase their participation from 18%, which they are 18% of the organization. Yeah. It will increase to about 21%.
And who gets to choose who the extra 100 people are?
They then
Gwede and Jesse.
No, they do that as the province, which is a problem, which means they will then exclude the other guys.
Isn't that lovely? Ron Darby, your prognosis for the weekend ahead. I presume that they would want to get the sort of leadership voting out of the way before getting into whatever else the conference decides, but on policy. They've obviously got a lot to talk about in terms of the run-up to the 2019 election as well.
Sadly, I don't think anything is about policy. It'll be like the 2007-12 where it's all basically about who's the next president. And when it comes to policy discussions, that just really just no one really attends them, not taking it as seriously. So the main focus will be on this. So if they make it sooner, the rest of the conference, I think nothing will happen really. This is all about just who takes over.
So once the leadership is over, it's a party.
Yeah, then, so whoever the victors are parting, and the others are going home, generally. That's
To do what, Sekonati? To form another party, or to lick their wounds and decide that actually, you know, they won't, because it is cold outside the ANC? How does this end?
It's actually getting a whole lot cold inside the ANC now. What's going to happen there? I think someone is first going to try to interdict some of the provinces, like the Free State, or even KZN, going into the conference, and there will be a problem about that. There will be at least there's already now 3 court cases on the conference, and we have not yet seen someone trying to stop the conference, and I think that will happen, either from the floor there, and some of the whoever is likely to lose will run to court and find some reason, like certain provinces have not been allowed to send delegates or not the correct delegates. That's the problem, and as soon as one of them loses, there will again be a court challenge, challenging the outcome and the whole process. So whoever does finally get to go home a winner in the evening at the end or on Sunday, the other party goes to prepare, one, for a new party, and two, to undermine the winner in the general election.
Do you think that'll happen, Stembe? So, I mean, do you think the party will split whichever way the vote goes?
There was a time when I thought that would happen. I think that would now only happen if the outcome just completely excludes the other side. What I've seen with both sides in the months going to the conference is that they are both aware of the possibility of a split.
Yeah.
And they are all scared of a split because they know that it's a showcase that the ANC will not win the 2019 elections if it is split.
Yeah.
So the tactic has been to have some unity talks, as they call them.
Yeah.
The problem with those talks is that they tend to exclude the candidates, the presidential candidate. But what the Nkosazana slate has been trying to do, from the way I understand it, is that they, even though they have 6 names that they want to be in the NEC, they are saying, no, we're willing to compromise. We can give you the other positions. You just give us the president and maybe the secretary general, and then you take the other positions. In that way, you keep those people within the fold.
Yeah.
The same thing that they're doing with the NEC. If you look at their list, they're not making the same mistake that they made in 2012, where the Zuma grouping won and just got rid of everyone.
Which is what's kept them in power.
In their list now, they have all the people who have been criticizing them as being in the NEC. So this is their way of just trying to keep everybody in the fold. Again, on the issue of the someone interdicting the conference, I think even there, they have an advantage in that both sides believe they're going to win. So everyone wants this conference.
Can I ask you this seriously? Does the Cyril camp genuinely believe that they're going to win this thing?
They think so. They think they've won it. They are really convinced. I mean, there have been cases where they could have challenged certain decisions, and they said, but guys, we can look at this thing after the elections. Case in point is Mpumalanga 2 days ago. What's his name? Posa wanted to go to court.
Yeah.
He was persuaded by the Cyril grouping that actually you don't have to go to court. Let the NEC, after the conference, deal with this issue, because they are assuming that by then they
will assume. Let's assume in what I think is the unlikely event of a Cyril Ramaphosa victory, much as I would want one. Let's assume that he does win. What does the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma camp do?
Okay, again, there's another dynamic that is new that has happened. Before, you just had the elections of the six officials happening all at the same time. You go, you put your cross against a name, and that's it. So people vote according to slates. So what is going to happen at this conference is that probably on Sunday or Monday, you will vote for the president.
Yeah.
And then from the floor, once they, let's say Nkosazana has lost, her name will then come from the floor.
Yeah.
She will then be nominated for deputy president.
Would she accept nomination?
I think she will.
Seriously?
Yes. I think she wants to be president, but I think if it means that she just takes the deputy presidency, she will, because she will see it as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
That then she has another 5 years. She has a chance of actually winning.
Yeah.
And also, I don't see the Zuma grouping saying, if we are not in the presidency, we don't want it. Because if you are not in there, you're not going to be able to fight against the president. You will say, appoint the commission of inquiry into state capture. You will not be able to deal with the president, who is going to say people need to be arrested.
Yeah.
So you need to have that fight even within the top six.
Yeah.
So I think they would want to surround Cyril. Even if he's president, they would want to surround him with people who will oppose him at every step.
How do you, but I mean, as Zuma has shown so clearly over the past 10 years, and as has been pointed out many times, his powers of appointment are just tremendous. I mean, he can literally appoint everybody. He's got to do a little bit of consulting with the Judicial Services Commission and that sort of thing, but basically, even, you know, as president, Cyril could decide not to appoint his party deputy as deputy president. I mean, it might go against tradition.
Yes, but that would then cause him problems.
Yeah.
I think that if you look at him, he sounds like someone who thinks like that, who thinks outside of the box.
Yeah.
But my question is whether he can afford the fallout that will happen immediately after.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Zuma became this popular because Mbeki tried to do the same thing. So, I mean, he tried to do it. I know everyone talks about Zuma being fired, but in 1999, people forget that Mbeki wanted the IFP president as his deputy because he was trying to deal with that problem.
Yeah.
And then he started having enemies in the ANC. Yeah. So I suspect that if Cyril were to try a similar thing, to say, I'm not going to appoint the deputy president.
One more question before we run out of time. Is it possible that Jacob Zuma could somehow engineer things in this conference that he stays in the top six, but it maybe becomes a top seven, just to get around this two centers of power thing where he's in office in the union buildings but not in office in the ANC?
I don't know what other guys
No, but I mean, they've been talking. There's been a lot of talk about two deputies and all that kind of thing.
But I never thought it includes him.
But I keep hearing this.
Zuma keeps on having new strategies that no one ever thought about.
I've been writing about this. Why haven't nobody read?
Sure, but Peter, in terms of the constitution of the ANC as it stands now, he can be nominated from the floor with 25% support to run for any position there.
Yeah.
The other positions to expand the NEC have not been accepted as yet.
Okay,
if that does happen, it will be for the next Congress.
In other words, can happen. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back. Panel, it also turns out that today Chief Gauteng, sort of Chief Justice Dunstan Mlambo, has ordered Jacob Zuma to pay the costs of his appeal to have Thuli Madonsela's state capture report set aside. And it also means, apparently, that Thuli Madonsela's order that the Chief Justice appoints somebody to oversee an inquiry into state capture stance, and that Zuma now has to stand aside and allow that to happen. That's quite a judgment, Stembiso.
Indeed, it is, and it's. I mean, taking it back to the political situation, it makes things even more complicated.
This weekend. How?
Because it means that Zuma has to fight by all means that his faction stays in power in the ANC. Because imagine with all these judgments, even though he's going, I assume he's going to say he's appealing, he's going to Concord, but if he doesn't. I mean, if he doesn't win at the weekend, if Nkosazana Zuma doesn't become a president of the ANC, you have an ANC-NEC that will then convene a meeting maybe first thing January
before January the 8th.
To say let's look at this president who's got all these judgments against him.
Yeah.
There is a court that the same court has said a few days ago. That the deputy president has to appoint the head of the NPA, and the court then says that the chief justice should appoint the head of a commission of inquiry. All of that will just go against Zuma, and I think he has to fight to keep power in the ANC.
So
power in the ANC gives him power in the state.
So what we're really saying, though, then, is that I mean, the odds of Jacob Zuma. Living a peaceful retirement are almost zero.
It looks
So basically, he has to win this weekend.
Yeah.
And when the chips are down, does he? When did he last lose when the chips were really down?
I don't actually remember Zuma losing a battle.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has not lost a political battle. Definitely.
Yeah.
He sealed it all at Pulukwane in 2007 when he got. Who knew about people called David Mahlobo before then?
Yeah.
And when he got that NEC that he wanted, and then he employed all of them
and
made sure that he
well, this was the trick, right?
I mean, you
get an NEC, you dispense patronage to all of it, jobs and this sort of thing. And
now
every time it has to vote, it votes for you.
Exactly, because if they vote against you, they're voting against themselves, against their own jobs. And people like Figile Mbalula and Malusi Gigaba are not only unemployed outside the government, but they're also unemployable.
Yeah.
So they will not try to lose their own jobs. But the most important part in this judgment is that now Zuma must pay out of his own pocket.
And presumably that implies that he would have to pay for an appeal to the Constitutional Court as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He will appeal even that judgment.
Yes.
he will appeal everything, and he will. This means, as Stembiso points out, he must fight to the death.
Yeah.
At this conference this weekend.
Yeah, he is going to. Somebody else who's fighting to the death, who might already be dead, not in the physical sense, but I mean as a businessman, is the CEO of Steinhoff, Marcus Huster. So, bring us up to date, Sikonathi and Ron. The Steinhoff share is recovering a bit, as one would expect. Mm-hmm. It's now fallen the equivalent of only 75% rather than 95%.
Yeah.
What will happen to the share? I mean, there are obviously assets in the company that are worth something.
Yeah.
So presumably, if this recovery process is properly run and there's some communication, is this rescuable?
But the thing is, we don't know the rot, right? So before that point comes, they'd have to tell us everything that's wrong with the books. They'd have to expose that. And that's where the big test for Steinhoff is, when they eventually say, okay, this is what went wrong with the accounting and so on. And that's when the market will take heed of what the actual problems are. And then from there, and say whether the company is savable, right? So we haven't got there. So we know now something's about to hit. I think today, this morning, there may be some statement in regards to Steinhoff. So we're waiting for that big bomb.
Yeah.
And once that is, so then we can make a call to say whether the company is recoverable or not. I mean, right now, I was expecting Christopher, having the friends he has, to have some investor come in and buy the shares and show it up for over the past 3 days. So the recovery we're seeing now is fine.
Yeah.
Someone buying on the back of.
Yeah.
There's still some positive assets, PEP and the like and so on. But as a company, when they finally tell us what went wrong, that's the big test was to Steinhoff.
And Sikonathi, you guys on the Financial Mail have done a great cover. I don't know, I'm going to hold it up. I don't know if the camera can get hold of this.
It's behind us.
But it's, oh, there it goes. Yeah, it's right on the board over there. It's a very funny play on the old Godfather movie posters. I haven't had an opportunity to read the story yet. It's just landed. What have you found out? I mean, what actually did Marcus Eusta do? What was the mistake, or the mistakes he spoke about? What did he do?
Look, the mistake that he admitted to have done has not been defined yet. Okay. But the company has said there's been an accounting irregularity. Now, that's a code for fraud. There's been accounting fraud in all the accounting. We spoke to
fraud,
to analysts. Yes, say. Fraud and theft and all of that. These books have been cooked. That's what it would seem. And Marcus Eusta has said he's owned it without specifically
he's
saying
owned
what
it and
is.
Disappeared.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Owned it and disappeared as he should. But the Germans will find him and deal with him. So that's the individuals out of the way, the board and everything. Yeah. The most important thing that we don't talk about in South Africa is how it affects the ordinary people out in the streets. Do you think that salesperson, sales assistant at a pep at a dance store knows even who Marcus Eusta is or even Christo Visi? That's the tragedy of the thing. I was driving from Sun City in the weekend, and near Moi Plus or Moi Noi here in there by Hartebeest Sport. There's a mall there. All the boards, four out of five of the big boards advertising shops in the mall, they were all Steinhoff shopping malls.
Pep,
Dance, Bradlos, and Russell's.
Yeah.
Like, that's the impact of the thing. The company employs 130,000 people, a big number of
people. But
this is
what
I want
to ask you. Let's assume, okay, there's this quote accounting irregularity stroke theft that has occurred, right? Mm. And Eusta disappeared and he knows what he did wrong and somebody's going to find him and arrest him, hopefully, and it'll all come out. But those jobs at that mall, surely they would be okay. I mean, those stores are viable businesses being run by perhaps a crook. But that doesn't mean to say they can't be taken over by somebody who's not a crook.
Absolutely.
And run properly.
Look, the many of the businesses there are solid.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. What there is now is that nobody can value them.
Until you know how deep the hole is.
Yeah, yes. Until you know what happened. So you have to go back and restate all the numbers and do the forensic accounting.
Like furniture retailers always have this. The accountancy around furniture retailers always been a bit dodged to me, Lewis and so on.
Exactly.
So we don't know. So when we see the rot, it could actually mean you have to close stores. You literally have to like reduce
and
the size.
And that's what sunk African Bank, by the way. Ellerins Holdings.
Yeah.
That's exactly
Ellerins sunk.
What sunk?
So retail is a strange game, I know.
Yeah.
The directors of Steinhoff, all of them, not all of them, a lot of them, are extremely senior chartered accountants, right?
Mm.
What are their liabilities? What are their, when you're a director of a company, what are you, what is the risk to you of something like this happening?
So they are liable jointly and severally for this. Now, all of them failed to ask the correct questions.
Yeah.
There's six chartered accountants on that board. Marcus was the seventh.
Right.
That's just the start.
Yeah.
We are told in the Financial Mail that it was Deloitte who pulled the plug and said, Marcus, please tell us what's going on here.
There's some resolution at the AGM last year where they said something about the board directors and not being responsible for not being liable for something, some risks with regards to of last year, just passed last
but
year.
But it's so very it well for Deloitte. I mean, Deloitte's okay.
Yeah, maybe that's how I saw it.
Deloitte's asked a question now in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the now departed David Gleason writing an article in Business Day 4 years ago saying, hang on a second, there's 8 billion rand here in cash or cash. Things that like I can't remember what the wording was, cash like instruments. Where is it? What are these things? And nobody would answer him.
Let's be frank.
Why wasn't Deloitte asking those questions?
Let's be frank here. Deloitte now was pushed by the German investigation, the criminal investigation into the auditing and the financial reporting there. So it felt compelled and had to ask the questions. And when they asked Marcus Eusta, they tell us in the Financial Mail, some sources tell us, when they asked Marcus Eusta for some of the answers, the finance director said, no, only Marcus has got that information.
Good
when
grief.
Marcus
how is that possible?
Exactly.
I was going to ask you.
How is that possible?
Stembisa, how does this catastrophe at Steinhoff Does it help divert some of the more difficult conversations at the ANC conference this week? In other words, is there now an opportunity to talk about private sector corruption, whereas maybe there was going to be a discussion on state corruption? I mean, how does it change the conversation? Does it give anybody a little bit of a break?
It does. There is a temptation within the dominant faction in the ANC to say society is focusing on corruption in the ANC when it's actually very small.
Yeah.
They take this case and compare to Nkandla and they say Nkandla was just only 264 million.
Yeah.
This is huge. So it's an opportunity. Again, the ANC has always fashioned itself, or at least a faction of it, has always fashioned itself as being anti-establishment and anti-business.
Yeah.
So it gives you an opportunity when you go to the conference to say we are being targeted while Stellenbosch is doing all those things.
Yeah.
When actually the two cases are not separate. I mean, the kind of corruption you find in this in the private sector happens because there's corruption in the public sector and vice versa. So the two needs to be dealt with as the same.
Can you get to the point, though, where we know exactly, let's say after 6 months, whatever has happened to the share price, where we know what the number is, how much was stolen or how much was not accounted for, how big, how deep the hole is? I mean, can we ever put a number on this?
There will be a number.
Yeah.
There will be at some point a number.
Is it likely to be as big as the initial fall in the share price?
Oh, yeah, but
Peter, it's going to be more than that.
It's going to be more than that.
More than that. The fact that he walked away so quickly, so urgently, that says a lot about what's about to hit. And that's the thing. It could be much more.
How come the CFO is not?
The CFO,
That's how Ponzi schemes are run, when only one person has the information.
Mm.
That's how Ponzi schemes are.
How long was he CEO for?
88.
The guy started.
Like, well, it listed in 1998. Mm. 10 years later.
So 30 years.
This is his baby.
When you're CEO for 30 years, you can hide pretty much anything from your CFO.
And
thanks a lot, Christo Visa. We'll see you one more time before Christmas. That'll be next week. Thanks for joining us.